Going through life with Betty and Bob. This is Milton Cross, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to join us for a visit with Betty and Bob Drake. But first, a few words from a friend of yours. The thing that Bob wanted most has happened. With Dr. Chapman's permission, Bob and the whole Drake family are going back to the city of Monroe, where Bob can resume active direction of his fighting newspaper, The Trumpet. The weekend was spent making preparations to return to Monroe, and early this morning we find Betty and Bob on the train going back to the city, the twins and Bob's mother and Claire Evans left behind until Betty can find a suitable house to move into. So now let us join Betty and Bob as the train approaches the city where, judging by the rumors that came to them down country, the greatest fight of their life awaits them.
Betty, you don't know what this means.
I think I do.
To get back into harness again, to get into the middle of that fight. And what a fight it's going to be.
You'll have to be more careful this time, Bob.
Oh, I will, Betty. You
know, it took a miracle to make you walk again. Miracles don't happen twice in a lifetime.
Always taking the gloomy side, aren't you?
No, I'm just a little fearful. But that's only because I happen to be in love with you.
But you're not as excited as I am, Betty.
Maybe I just have a different way of showing it. After all, it wouldn't be very ladylike if I started waving my hands and pulling my hair and dancing around like an Indian.
I'm not doing that.
You're coming very close to it.
What are you trying to do, make me self-conscious?
Oh, now, who can do that?
Well, why are you always kidding?
Why do you give me so many opportunities?
Now, what have I done to make you sit there so superior?
I'm not superior at all, darling.
Well, then what do you call it?
Just admiration.
Admiration with a smirk, huh?
Darling, your capacity for enthusiasm is one of the wonders of the age.
Oh, what's there to laugh about? Just because I want to devote my life to making a place like Monroe a decent American city, because I want to do it in a big way, what's so funny about that?
Nothing, darling. Maybe I'm just jealous.
That's more like it.
You know, Bob, that was a very sensible idea of yours. Agreeing not to run that story about Margaret Jameson being picked up for drunken driving.
It was a terrific idea.
Let other people say that, dear.
Let other people say what?
That your ideas are terrific.
Yes, but suppose they don't.
All right. But doing that favor for city manager Jameson gives you the perfect opening to, well, to approach him somewhat more intimately than you might have otherwise been able to.
I'm going to see him this morning.
Oh, darling, you were going to help me find a house.
There was no time to waste, darling. You go find a house yourself. I trust your judgment.
Oh, do you?
Absolutely. You have perfect taste.
Really?
What's good enough for you is... Oh, it's probably too good for me.
Bob.
Oh, Betty, darling, how am I ever going to be able to thank you enough for calling up Dr. Chapman? You can't tell me that you didn't persuade him to let us go back to the city.
Well, a brooding husband is no fun to have around.
You're going to have a happy husband now.
Want to put that in writing?
And a happy husband will make you a happy wife.
Oh, so that's all you think I need to be completely happy? You're quite conceited.
Conceit is a healthy thing.
Well, it doesn't go too far.
You know, I never was a modest young fellow.
No, Bob, you weren't.
You know why that is, don't you?
No, I don't, but I can see that you're going to say something bright.
It's all your fault.
Oh?
You know, I was a very humble young man till I met you and fell in love with you. And, you know, when I won you over 1,000 other young swains, well, I... Well, that changed my whole attitude about myself.
And you've never gotten over it?
No. Every time I begin to doubt myself, I look over at you and I say, I was good enough to get her, so I must be a pretty great guy.
May I suggest something, Bob?
Are you asking permission?
Uh-huh. You know, you ought to put up a statue to yourself in front of the Trumpet Building and put that old Latin quotation under it. Ecce homo.
Ecce homo.
Forgotten your Latin already, darling? That means, behold, a man.
Yeah. Hey, we're coming into Monroe.
Yeah?
Oh, there's the old town. Boy, it's good to see it.
Oh, you'd think you'd been away for years. It's less than 2 weeks.
Just look at it, darling. All those buildings, those homes, those factories, those stores. That city. That's America. With all its wonderful qualities and its good people and its bad people, with it. With its hopes and its dreams. And with those forces that want to smash those hopes and chain those dreams. And there, in the middle of the city somewhere...
There's a newspaper called The Trumpet.
Yeah.
And it wants to keep those hopes from being smashed and those dreams from being chained.
Yeah, that's right.
It wants to bring order and beauty and peace into the lives of all the people in the city. And it's our paper, Bob. If it fails in doing that... It's only because we failed.
Which we never will.
We never will.
But Betty and Bob have neither thought nor fear of the disasters which may lie ahead. Their newspaper will not only fly the flag of freedom and human decency, but will fight for it. Well, while Betty went looking for a new house for the Drake family to move into, Bob went over to the city hall. He's wasting no time about getting to see new city manager Jameson and starting the process of finding out how this man got into office. Now we find Bob as he is entering the office of Ellsworth Jameson, city manager.
Oh, come in, Mr. Drake. Come in.
Oh, how are you, Mr. Jameson?
Well, I can't possibly tell you what a very great pleasure this is. I've really wanted to meet you. Have you come into the city for a visit, Mr. Drake?
No, I've come back to the city permanently, Mr. James.
Oh, well, I see. That's fine. Glad to have you back. Town needs men like you.
That's why I came back.
Won't you sit down, Mr. Drake?
Yes, thanks. I'll be glad to.
Lovely town, Monroe.
Have you ever been here before?
Well, no. I mean, I passed through it, but I've never lived here until I was asked to become the city manager.
You were asked?
Why, yes. Anderson knew me quite well. That is, he knew my reputation when I was professor of economics at the State University and later when I worked in the Department of Budgets.
You seem to have some very interesting qualifications, Mr. James.
Oh, yes. That is, I'm going to do my very best, Mr. Drake, to be of service to this town.
I'm sure you will.
And, Mr. Drake, I...
Yes?
I can't tell you how much I appreciate what you did for me.
You mean killing that story about your daughter being picked up for drunken driving?
Yes, it was a very generous act on your part, Mr. Drake, and I want you to know that I won't forget it soon.
Well, now you don't have to make that much of a fuss over it, Jameson. I like to see a man get a fair chance at a job, and if we'd given that thing about your daughter a real spread, well, it would have put you under a handicap.
Oh, yes, it would.
Would have made public opinion... Well, you know how people feel about public men whose families create scandal.
Oh, yes, I do.
Is your daughter all right now, Mr. Jameson?
All right. Of course she's all right. You don't think she's always being picked up for drunken driving, do you? It's just an accident.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, she's a very fine girl, Margaret. Very fine girl. A little high-strung sometimes, maybe, particularly since her mother died, but fundamentally she's a very fine girl, Mr. Drake.
I'm sure she is.
Excuse me. Hello? My daughter? Oh, yes, put her on. It's my daughter.
Would you like me to step out?
No, you stay right where you are. I'm enjoying this conversation. Hello, Margaret? What is it? No, Margaret, I don't want you to drive up to Seneca tonight. No, I don't. I said I don't want you to drive up there alone. Now, is that clear? I'm your father, and you'll do as I say. Besides, Margaret, darling, I've got some tickets for the theater tonight. There's a play opening. It's called... I forget its name, but it's supposed to be a very good play, and we're going to it. Yes, I know all your friends are up in Seneca. Well, perhaps we'll go up there together this weekend. Now, be a good girl, Margaret. Margaret, don't get me excited, please. Yes, that's right. That's right. We'll have dinner anywhere you like, and then we'll go to see that play. I wish I could remember its name. All right, Margaret. I'll meet you home around 6. Goodbye, dear. That was my daughter.
Yes.
Very fine girl, very fine. Now, what were we talking about before the phone rang?
We were talking about your daughter.
Oh, and she called up. Odd coincidence, isn't it? Really, Mr. Drake, I'm terribly indebted to you for suppressing that story about Margaret, and any favor you ever want me to do for you, feel absolutely free to call upon me at any hour of the day or night.
All right, Mr. Jameson. I may take advantage of that offer, but now I'll leave you to your work.
Work? Oh, yes, my work. Yes, I've got lots of work to do.
A strange man, this Jameson. He acts like someone with a lot on his mind or his conscience. Can it be both? And this daughter of his, we'll be seeing a lot of her, I'm sure. This is Milton Cross again, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to take a moment to listen to an important message. This program is presented over this station 5 times each week, Monday through Friday, at this same hour. Join us when we next meet Betty and Bob. Your announcer, Milton Cross.